If you will turn in your bulletins to the first of the communion hymns, we'll go through that so it's a little more familiar when you are ready to sing along as part of that. It's He Will Rule the World. Sing along if you like, or just listen and follow.
Thank you. Let us begin our worship by singing, Come, Holy Spirit. This is the last Sunday of Easter. I'll perhaps mention again announcements that we're moving towards Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit comes with the baptism. We pray that it comes again and again to us through days. Let's stand as we are able.
Our service continues in our bulletin. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. As God's beloved children, let us call to mind our sin and our need for reconciliation with God and one another, and we'll take a moment to do this. Strong and faithful God, we confess that we have not lived as your holy people in the world. We have closed our hearts to your love. We have resisted your light. We have failed to proclaim your mercy. Forgive what we have done and what we have left undone. Heal us with your abundant grace and help us walk as children of the light. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit, let us serve the Lord in newness of life. Amen. At this time, I invite you to share the peace of God with those around you. God's peace. 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 God's peace.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. My name is Pastor Doug Larson, and I'm new here, I think. I haven't seen most of you for a couple weeks. Actually, I'm the one that's been gone, so it's good to be back with you today. I want to welcome those who are listening on the radio this morning also, and welcome those who are visiting with us. Good to have you here today. This is the last Sunday of Easter, so that means that next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, which we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples in Jerusalem. And we'll hear in our gospel, from our lesson from Acts, what happens kind of between the ascension of Jesus, which was this past Thursday, celebrated Ascension Day, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So next Sunday, and I know it's Memorial Day weekend also, so people are going here and there. But if you are here, or wherever you're going for worship, wear something red to celebrate Pentecost. The flowers on the altar today are given by Leah Hughes in honor of her daughter Alexis's 13th birthday. So congratulations to Alexis on her birthday. We also want to keep in prayers Althea Danielson on the death of her husband John. And that was, John's funeral was held here on Wednesday. So please keep Althea in your prayers. Take note, the Spring Salad Luncheon was a wonderful place, a wonderful eating experience. I enjoyed it a lot, and looks like the turnout was good in terms of how the money raised for the refuge and for the event being held, and all these people getting together and eating. The Center for Changing Lives, the center that'll house 20 beds for homeless youth in the northeastern Minnesota Synod, 10 beds for transitional opportunities to grow and get education and different things, health services. That campaign is on now. And if you go to the church office window, there's a yellow, I was going to bring it along, it didn't, a yellow sheet that you can use on a daily basis for the rest of the month. Like if you have two TVs, put in $1 for each TV you have, or if you have a bed tonight, put in 50 cents for each bed you have in your house as a way of raising money for that. Or if you just want to play and make a donation to that, that's fine too. But that will look to wrap that up on June 1st, 2 weeks from now, because Thrivent Financial will match 50 cents to every dollar that's put towards that. And even here in Mora, we have 6 to 8 high school youth who are without a home, who are going from couch to someplace else. So it's close to home here. Also tonight, the Sitna Mai, Norwegian Independence Day, supper tonight. There's still time to sign up for that, right, Kathy?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You betcha.
So there's a sign-up sheet. If you haven't signed up, over on the church window also, and fill in that. We got about 24 people at least at this point, so it's fun. Always fun to come out and have that. I think that's all the announcements I'm going to draw your attention to. I'm going to call upon Steve Denzin for another announcement that you're all aware of what's happening, and I think is, go ahead.
As most of us know, there's the, and we've seen from all the yard signs, the school referendum vote. It's coming up this week on Thursday. The vote actually occurs at the high school. One message I think that really hasn't been relayed in the vote is I see a lot of polarized in our community, whether it's vote no or vote yes. And it's our job as Christians, members of the community, I think, to come together and bridge that gap, because no matter what happens, one way or another, we need to move together, move forward as a community after this vote. So I'm asking all of you to do your part as far as moving forward once the vote happens, and we live in a wonderful country that allows us to have that right to vote for where our taxes go to. So please get out there and vote on Thursday. And if anybody wants to talk about the vote, I'm always willing to talk. So thank you.
All Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? I'm tempted when it comes to the offering time to invite those who have smartphones to take out their smartphones and use the QR code inside the back cover. That's another way of making offerings. And I, again, was hearing just this past week somewhere that 40 and under, they don't use checkbooks very often, but they do know how to use their smartphones and the QR codes to lead them to different places and to make an offering. So we want to make sure that's an opportunity for us. With that, let's continue our worship. Let's stand as we are able.
Let us pray the prayer of the day. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil. By your Spirit, transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is written in Acts 1, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 26. In the days between Jesus' ascension and Pentecost, Peter oversees a process whereby one of the members of the community of believers is chosen to be the 12th apostle, in order to fill the vacancy created by Judas's treachery and death. Here begins the reading. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus, for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. When they prayed and said, "Lord, I know everyone's heart. You know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go in his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Here ends the first reading. The second reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is written in 1 John 5, verses 9 through 13. "God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and in the promise of eternal life. Here begins the reading. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Here ends the second reading.
The psalm for this Sunday is the first psalm, and I remember memorizing this back in, I don't know, fourth or fifth or sixth grade. Did anybody else memorize this as part of their Sunday school or confirmation? You raise your hand? Ah, okay. With the rains we've had, it's wonderful because we know that without rain, things don't work so well. We also know that too much rain eventually has some problems too. But here we have a person describing life in God as a tree planted by rivers. And growing up in North Dakota, we didn't have much for rivers, so it's always good to see. Someone said in North Dakota, all the trees that are there, other than those by a river or a lake, were planted by somebody else. But that's because, that didn't always work because of the dry land. But by a river, by a lake, they have access, the roots have access to water, and we have access to our God, too. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff, which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed. Here ends Psalm. The Holy Gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter is taken from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. Glory to you, O Lord, O God. How's it go? Is it printed in our bulletin this time? Okay. The gospel for today is, John, go ahead, you say your response.
Glory to you, O God.
Okay. I find John harder to preach upon. I love listening to John. And I think John, in some ways, as I've talked about it at the text study on Wednesday, is a little bit like impressionistic painting. If you get too close to it, all you see is little brush strokes. But you back up a little bit, and then you see a different picture. And it's fun to listen to John, but John's statements of Jesus, as he records them, just kind of go this way and back, and they kind of keep evolving and changing. And maybe what we need to do is not try to look at every word or phrase, but kind of look at the overall feeling that you get as you listen to what John is saying that Jesus spoke. Jesus prays, I am asking on their behalf, Lord. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Here ends the reading of the gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. At this time, I'll invite the children to come forward. If they get some children to come forward for the sermonette. Yep. Let's have a prayer over your offering. We thank you, Lord, for your love and care for us. Receive this offering. Receive our hearts of thankfulness to you also as an offering. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. What do you notice about this plant?
It's green.
It's green. It really is real green, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? Anything else?
They're big leaves.
Big leaves? Mm-hmm. Yep. Anything else?
No.
Yep.
Stems.
Long stems? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really is magnificent in many ways. But I've seen this plant sometimes be drooping, and these long stems kind of falling, bending over, and the leaves kind of drying up because I didn't get it watered in soon enough. It sits in my office. When it droops and the stems bend over, what's missing?
Well, some of the leaves will be falling off.
If it keeps on, the leaves will fall off. What's missing is water. Yeah. And we've seen that sometimes when it doesn't rain for a long time and the grass gets dry around our house and things like that. Oh, yes, you're right, they do. Yeah, yeah, here too, they got some that are a little funny, aren't they? Yeah. Well, this plant is a good example of what happens to our lives when we get what we need in life. And one of the things we need in life, besides food and clothing and shelter, is God. God's care and love in our life. And the psalm that I read, Psalm 1, talked about, happy are those who don't do bad things, who don't stand with bad people. Happy are those who listen to God and listen to what God is doing and let God's love come into their hearts. They are like trees planted by rivers. I decided not to bring a tree in today. But this plant, an example of what happens when we're close to what God wants. We're close to God's love. God says, I care about you. I care about you. I love you very much. And we take that in, kind of breathe it in. When you get breakfast or lunch or dinner or supper, do you eat the food? Yeah. And what happens to your body?
We get energy.
You get energy. Yep. And you get life. So a long time ago, somebody said, when we listen to God, we take God's word and we listen to God's love and care for us. We take that in and say, yes, God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. It's like taking in water for plants. It's like taking food into your body and you have life. So a long time ago, this person said, happy are those who listen to God. So thanks for coming up because you're listening to God today too. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, we give you thanks for your love and care that comes always to us.
Help us to breathe deeply, to eat fully, to drink well of what you have to give to us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart here be found acceptable in your sight. Keep us in your word, for your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our lesson from Acts comes between that time of Jesus' ascension into heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. The disciples, we know that it took 10 days between the ascension of Christ, which would be last Thursday, and next Sunday. But the disciples, the 11 disciples, didn't know when that was going to take place. But Jesus had been with them on and off for those 40 days. He had appeared to them. He had opened their minds. He had explained things to them. And he was kind of coming and going. And then he takes them outside of Jerusalem. And he says, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So starting off from Jerusalem out to all the world. And the word witness in the Greek is martyr, which eventually becomes to mean one who will die for their faith rather than give it up. And at this time, too, the disciples are asking, "Oh, now Jesus, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to make us a military, political power again? And will the Romans be thrown out?" And he says, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has appointed." In fact, Jesus says, "It's not for you to know how the future is really going to take place or when I will return to bring the world to its end. But your job is to be my witnesses, to go and to share." And so in the meantime, he tells them, "But wait. Wait until in the city, until you are clothed with power from on high." And so they return to Jerusalem, from outside where he rose out of their sight into heaven, and they wait. But there's a loose end to be tied up. 12 is a holy number in the Bible. There were the 12 sons of Jacob, 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And when Israel was resettled after returning from Egypt, then there was 12 different areas of Israel. And Jesus himself picks 12 disciples to go and learn from him, and eventually they're going to be sent out. But one of them was Judas Iscariot, and Judas betrayed Jesus. He turned from 30 pieces of silver to lead people to Jesus so he could be arrested and eventually killed. So he's not there. There's only 11, and that kind of grates on the people because there should be 12 of us, which raises the question about how the disciples felt about Judas, who committed suicide. Well, it kind of depends. If you read Matthew, Matthew says that he went out and hanged himself in despair after betraying Jesus. As you read the end of Luke, or the beginning of the book of Acts, both written by Luke, then you have there Judas buying a piece of property, and the phrase, "and falling headlong, his bowels fell out and he died." And it always struck me kind of strange. How can you just fall over and your intestines all roll out and you die? But falling headlong is actually a phrase used to describe falling off your housetop. So according to Acts, Judas bought this land but was on the top of his house, somehow fell off and died. So he's not with them anymore. And how did the disciples feel about that? They might have said, "Good riddance. We never liked him anyway. He stole money out of the treasury. He was our treasurer, and he stole money. Good to have him gone." Or others might have said, "Yeah, I never really liked him that much. He was kind of a strange character. Not sure if he really loved our Lord or not. But yet he was one of us. He was one of us through all these 3 years. And there might have been a sense of we miss him." And then, of course, it raises the question, and I think on one Good Friday some many years back, I preached on the question, could Judas have been forgiven? Could Judas have come back to Jesus and said, I'm sorry, I sinned against you. I'm sorry I did what I did. Can you possibly forgive me for what I did? Wouldn't that have been a marvelous story to read? And most people, when I raise that question here, there, and between, say, yes, I think Judas could have been forgiven. I think we're very open and generous to that. There are scripture passages written and quoted here in Acts that say this was the way it was going to be. There had to be one who was going to betray Jesus, and he was going to be left out. And that's where Luke leaves it in the book of Acts. But it leaves us a bit hanging, I think. Did it have to be that he couldn't have been forgiven? Is Judas set off to the side of history and put in the category of Hitler and Stalin and Idi Amin with no chance of salvation? Well, that question is left anyway. But there's a loose end for the disciples. Judas has to be replaced. There needs to be 12 disciples. So they sit down and decide, we have to have somebody who has been with us since the beginning of John's ministry, someone who's seen all the things that Jesus said and did, not somebody who comes in and we tell a story to him, but somebody who has participated in it, seen it. Now, we always hear about the 12 disciples, and we hear about 3, 4, or 5 women, kind of depending on how many are mentioned at times. But we never hear that there are other men who were there, who followed along, who weren't disciples. But apparently there were, because 2 of them are brought forth, have been with them for the last 3 years. One is Barsabbas, and one is Matthias. But now it's important to the disciples that they don't choose the one that God wants. They make it very clear, we can't decide who's going to be this person. So we will, they prayed, that's very important. They prayed and took time, and they had some qualifications to decide. And then they say, Lord, you decide which one you have chosen so we know we have the right person. And so they cast lots. Now, to me, that sounds like putting names into a hat and just drawing out one. Or taking dice, casting lots and saying, okay, Matthias, you have this number. If it's 4 and higher, it's you. If it's 3 and lower, then it's Barsabbas. It always seemed kind of a strange thing. But for the first time this past week, I was reading a commentary that said casting lots operated in this way. You put the name of the different people on little stones, and like Barsabbas and Matthias on these stones, you put them into a container with a hole in it. And then you shake this container around and around, whatever which way, until one of the names falls out. And that's God choosing that person. And so they cast lots, and out came the name Matthias, and he is chosen to replace Judas. Another commentator said, that's the last we hear of Matthias. Isn't that interesting? There's legends of where these 12 disciples went, but in the Bible, that's the last we hear of Matthias. What happened to him after that? We don't really know, do we? But apparently, he must have taken the message. He must have gone someplace and began to teach that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that death has been overcome, that God's will is taking place in Jesus. And so the word went out. So Matthias, even though we never hear of him again, evidently went and did what he was supposed to do. That's where my sermon ended on a Friday afternoon. And I went home saying, okay, what happens after that? How do I tie this into where we are? And actually, it was the Christ in Our Home devotional that I looked back on, I think on Friday or maybe it's Thursday morning's one. And it said, Matthias maybe is a lot like us. We never hear of him again, but he goes about doing what he's supposed to be doing. Our names aren't going to be long known. They're not going to be nationally or world known. But yet we have been chosen by God too. God didn't put our names into a big container and roll it around until our name came out. Rather, at our baptism, God said, I want you. I want you. I want you. He's claimed us, and he told us, I want you to be a witness also. We don't all end up being pastors or evangelists or missionaries, but we all end up being Christians. And by our Christian life, living out what we are to be as God's followers in Jesus Christ. So even though we don't hear any more of Matthias, he evidently went and began doing what he was supposed to be doing. How many of us fall into the same category of going and doing what we are supposed to be doing? Quietly doing what God has called us to do in this life. We have a phrase that comes up again and again that comes from our national office. God's work, our hands. God's work, and we are the hands that are doing that. And some of that work that we're doing is not very visible. I'm thinking of folding bulletins on Friday mornings here in the church. That's not very visible. Some of you have done that. And then when the newsletter needs to be put together, you get called and people show up. That's not very visible either. And for 2 or 3 hours, you assemble and you stamp and you fold and you tape and different things. But again, like Matthias, just doing those things that need to be done. Sunday morning, greeting, ushering, helping with communion, the music teams, being in Bible studies, showing up to help with funerals, bringing casseroles or hot dishes or salads or whatever, those kinds of things. Today's the last day of Sunday school, and there are opportunities there again that through the years quietly teaching, serving there, helping with release time, or showing up on Thursdays for chat and chow, setting the tables, washing the dishes and different things. Again, just quietly doing, maybe not so visibly, but doing those things that need to be done. Praying in the prayer chain. When you get a new prayer concern, and you sit down and you pray for this situation and this person. Offering to serve coffee on Sunday mornings. Again, little things that reach out and show a sense of hospitality, a sense of Christian love and care. And as Steve said in his announcement, as Christians, we have a responsibility to live as Christians in all of our life. And hopefully it becomes just one of those things we just kind of do, that we become just that loving, caring kind of person, all we say and do. It's hard. We have those times when we blow our top and go off kind of the deep end. But by and large, as Christians, we try to say, it's my God who leads me on to doing these things that maybe nobody sees and yet are important to be done. Being present on Sunday mornings with a smile or a caring attitude. Turning to see somebody that you haven't recognized before and wonder, are they new? Have they been missing for a while? And go over and saying, I'm not sure if I know you, but my name is, and how are you? Or I don't think I know you, but what's your name? Welcoming. It'll be fun when we get to heaven to find out what Matthias did. At the same time, it's kind of fun to watch what we are doing. Those little things that we do as part of God's family. Did you know that you were chosen by God, just as Matthias was, chosen to be a witness in many different ways? God bless you. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we make an offering to our Lord. Confident in the resurrection of Christ from the dead, who has defeated sin and death, we offer our prayer for the church, the world, and all people in it. We pray, Lord, for creation, for trees and fruit, clean water and air,
and all inhabitants of the earth, that God raise up careful stewards of the soil, air, and water in all we do. Lord, in your mercy. For the sick and those who provide healing, for the lonely and those who provide companionship, for the imprisoned and those who seek justice, for the bereaved and those who provide comfort, we ask you, Lord, to be with those who name before you for different situations. Continue being with Dick Schultz as he recovers from his surgery on Tuesday. Be with Paul and Diane Blagan, Derek Hughes, and his special needs. Be with Doug Olson, Mindy Johnson, Michael Isom, Victoria Danley, Sig Kerr, Bill Moody, Don Kristen, Ernie Capra. Be with those who are struggling and fighting against cancer, Muriel Gorham, Anita Guda, Gladys Nelson, Pam Mattson, Lee Everson, Mark Nordine, Renee Rowland, Shelley Hunt, Phyllis Ramsey, Jessica Jeffers, and Lee Sabota. And others who we raise up before you, Lord, who are struggling with situations and illnesses that don't always come to an end. Be with those who are facing surgery this week or other procedures, and be with others who are recovering from them. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, Lord, for Ryan Schoberg and others in our military who are stationed around the world. Support them and keep them as they serve far from home. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, Lord, for those who mourn, especially for Althea Danielson as she mourns the loss of her husband, John. Lord, in your mercy. We celebrate the life also of Alexis Hughes, whose flowers celebrate her life this day. And Lord, we ask you to be with those completing their studies this academic year, those who are coming home for the summer or to jobs, for those who travel and enjoy recreation, and for those gathered here and those absent, that through our joy we continually offer thanks to you. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, Lord, for Sunday school teachers, for the helpers, for release time helpers, for those who minister to the youth through chat and chow and other situations. Thank you for them. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we pray one last prayer for concerning our community over the school issue. There have been strong feelings, many words that are said. As the time counts down, Lord, now we pray that your love fill all hearts, that the love for you, love for one another, even love for those who have opposing ideas will be the ruling way we act towards one another in this time. Guide us by what we say and do, by your love, which is great and powerful. And then join us together now, Lord, in prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord. For he is a true Passover lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy. Thank you.
took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to all, saying, "Drink you all from this, for this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to us. Bless us as we share in your holy meal. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join in the hymns before and after you receive the Lord's body and blood.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world.
are able. The body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto eternal life.
Amen.
Let us pray. Be the body of Christ in the world, and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you to the music team for helping lead worship this morning. One other announcement, it's Vern Stromberg's birthday today also, so congratulations, happy birthday to Vern back there also. Receive the Lord's blessing. God Almighty send you his light and his truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you, God's holy angels accompany you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit cause his grace to be mighty upon you. Amen.